thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
This morning we're carrying on our study in the book of Proverbs and continuing to think about prominent themes that occur throughout the book. And this morning we're going to consider a very practical theme that affects all of our lives at various times in our lives. And that is guidance or direction for our lives. Now, some people think, well, guidance, that's only an important subject for young people. You know, whether you're leaving school or university or something, and you need to know the next stage in your life. Well, that's true. And if you're at that stage, it is important for you. But guidance or direction is something that we all need at various times in our lives, because we are all faced from time to time with important decisions. If I was able to have a conversation with every person in this room today and those at home on Zoom, many of you would be in situations right now where you have important decisions to make in your life. And maybe you're struggling to find the right direction or to make that right decision. Some of you maybe have a decision to make about your job, what job you should take, whether you should stay in the job that you're in, whether it's time to move on or time to retire. Some of you may be in the process of deciding where to commit yourselves spiritually, what church family to be in. I mean, some of you, I know we've had quite a few new people come along in recent weeks. You are in that process. And we recognize it's a big decision. It takes time, and you want to know you're making the right decision. Some of you may be deciding whether to move house. You may be facing a major decision within your family or within a relationship. We all are faced with those big decisions where we need to make good and godly decisions. This is what walking in wisdom is. Dave is definitely going to have to help me here. Walking in wisdom is making good and godly decisions. Proverbs, the book of wisdom, has really important help for us in this decision-making process. Now, I've gone through the book. I have read and taken every reference in it, scattered throughout it, about direction, and look carefully to see what help they can give us. So to keep this sermon a manageable length, you can tell me at the end if you thought it was manageable or not. I'm not going to go into other passages throughout the Bible that speak about guidance, because otherwise we'll be here all day. But I'm just focusing this morning on the book of Proverbs. But when I looked at all the references in Proverbs, I saw four distinct areas that help us in our guidance and decision making. So firstly, the general focus of our lives. This first point is probably the most underrated, and yet it is the most important. Now, it's the case that some Christians never give serious consideration to the thought that God actually has a plan and a purpose for their lives. They don't ever think, what is God's will for my life? And that's sad, because knowing what God's will for your life is isn't just for those who are having to make the big decisions in life. Knowing God's will for your life is important even if you consider that you have the most ordinary, mundane life ever. Because the life of any believer is never so ordinary, so run-of-the-mill, that God doesn't have plans for you. God has plans for every single one of his children, no matter how ordinary you think you are. God has plans for you, even if you think you're insignificant, Even if you think that you are in the most insignificant role in life, God is interested in who you are, in where you are, and He wants to use you where you are, in your family, in your work, in your neighborhood. With that perspective in life, you'll be seeking God for guidance, not just in the big decisions, but thinking carefully about the general focus or direction of your life. Listen carefully to these verses that speak about the character-forming habits of thoughtful lives that make consistently good and godly choices and even the smallest daily decisions. The verse we have here, Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. The integrity, this is Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. And if you want to turn to Proverbs 2:7-11, an amazing collection of verses here. Proverbs 2:7-11. I want you to notice the word at the end of each of the first four lines in particular. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. That's not talking about sinless people, upright, blameless, just, faithful ones. That is talking about people who have set their course in life to obey the commands of God. You might remember like Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were regarded as blameless. Noah was blameless in the eyes of the Lord. It didn't mean they were sinless people, but they had set their course to follow the Lord. And this is what he said here, what he will do for those people. Then verse 9, then, all right, when you read all that, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. How are you going to do that? For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. And next slide. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, probably the most well-known verses in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And I would say, here is the key line in these two verses. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, or he will direct your path. Of course, there are times in life when we need to seek specific guidance for specific situations, but in the bigger scheme of our lives, how we live day to day, the daily focus of our lives, the general direction of our lives, the trajectory of our lives is our central understanding of God's involvement in our lives. If you don't really believe that God is interested in you and how you live, then you will not live this kind of thoughtful life. But if you do believe that God is interested in all the daily decisions you make, from the tiny little things to the big things, if he's interested in your choices, if he's interested in your attitude, then you will live this thoughtful life that we've read about here in Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. Will not just run through life thoughtlessly, but, next slide, we'll be conscious each and every day of living according to the word of God. of choosing to acknowledge God in every situation we face and actively choosing the path of integrity. That is massive. That means when you're at work and everybody's gossiping about something, it's so easy, even as a believer, just to put in your tuppence worth, just to chip right in there. It's not, but that's not the path of integrity. It's so easy to act dishonestly in a situation, but it's not the path of integrity. This thoughtfulness of life is the path of wisdom. Again, some Christians don't understand not only the importance, but the consequence of choosing to live this life of thoughtfulness and integrity. Dave, if I keep saying Dave, you'll understand it's for the slide. Learning to live life with this focus of living life according to God's word, what's the consequence? It prepares us. That's what the Bible's saying. It prepares us to make the right choices in the bigger decisions we have to face. That's what Proverbs 2:9 says. Then you will understand what is right and just. And we also have these incredible promises to take to heart, that if we're living right every day, then God will protect our way. God will guard our course. God promises that we will understand what is right. We will have wisdom in our hearts to make our paths will be made straight. And maybe very importantly, it takes the fear out of decision making. Some people have a dread of making the wrong decision. But you know, friends, if we live a thoughtful, God-centered life, day by day by day, do you know what we're doing? We're training ourselves to make godly decisions, to make the right decisions, because we've prepared our hearts to receive his direction. And then secondly, second point, the specific steps that we can take. Because in saying all of that about the general focus of our lives, sometimes we are all faced with these big decisions, important decisions. And any real believer wants to make sure they make the right decision. They don't veer off the path that God has for them. But how do we make these big decisions? Proverbs gives us useful advice. Firstly, pray about it. Hope that's not too obvious for you. But the truth is, we should never take a big decision in our lives without praying seriously about it. Giving the matter over to God, asking him to guide us. We may already have a general sense in our hearts of the way to go, but it's good to ask God to confirm that to us through his word, through our circumstances, even through other people who will speak into our lives. Proverbs 16, 1-4. Again, some really interesting verses. To man or to a person belong the plans of the heart. You have a decision to make. You have plans and you're making those decisions. But listen to this. But from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. I had to read that and think about that a few times, saying, what does that mean? We make decisions, we have plans about things, but as a believer, from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. I don't know about you, but I don't want to make any major decision in my life without hearing what God has said about it. From the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. Here is God's reply right here. Hearing God's confirmation, speaking to us directly through his word, and even confirming that general sense we have in our hearts. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord in prayer. Whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. So pray about it. Nextly, ask someone you know and that you trust for advice and counsel. Just move on to the next slide, Dave, there. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Proverbs 20:18. Make plans by seeking advice. Now, hopefully this next bit doesn't apply to you. If you wage war, obtain guidance. Yeah, whatever. Hopefully not waging war in your family. But sometimes you may be faced with a situation, a decision. It's so huge and you absolutely do not want to get it wrong. And yet, it can be very hard to see the wood from the trees. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It can be very hard when you're in the midst of something, particularly if you're emotionally involved in a situation. It can be difficult to stand back and take an objective look at it. You go over the list of the pros and the cons of a situation. You try to look at it from every conceivable angle. But truthfully, sometimes one of the best things you can do is to go to someone that you trust implicitly, whose walk with the Lord you absolutely respect, who you know will not just tell you what you want to hear. Go to them, share the situation with them, and ask them for their honest advice. Myself and Graham have been very blessed to have people in our life that we can go to in that situation. But listening to advice is not the same. I want to underline this. It's not the same as somebody telling you what you should do. Because in the end of the day, every one of us is responsible for making our own decisions. Some people would happily hand over their decision-making to somebody else to make that decision for them. And there are other people who would happily take that responsibility from you and make your decisions for you. But you need to make your own final decision. And sadly, many people in life, in church life, have been damaged, seriously damaged, by allowing other people to dictate the future direction of their lives through so-called prophetic words, which, to be honest, were nothing more than fanciful ideas in somebody else's head. If somebody gives you a word, make sure it is confirming what God has already spoken to you. And make sure you take prayerful advice before acting on any words that people speak into your life. There has been untold damage done, particularly in Pentecostal charismatic churches, with really fanciful words being given to others. And then the next point, check your motives. Check your motives. Proverbs 16:2, what a great verse. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Over the years, Graham has often quoted Jeremiah 17:9, about the heart is desperately wicked. And although our hearts as Christians have been renewed by Jesus Christ, yet we all still suffer from mixed motives. I would say in practically everything that we do, there's mixed motives. And so when we're faced with a difficult decision, we do need to ask ourselves, what is my motive? Because I have known many people who have made a choice which is against the word of God, actually, but they said, God told me. No, God, if it's against the word of God, God isn't making an exception for you. He is not. This is the final word. We do have to check, because we are so easily led by what we want to do. Here's what I would say is a good wee checker for each one of us. If I make this decision, will it hinder or will it benefit my spiritual life? I think that's a great checker for our motives. Will this decision make me into a more self-centered, selfish person, or will it make me a more giving person? And then, final little point in this, don't act too quickly. Proverbs 19:2, it's not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. Don't allow yourself to be pressurized and rushed into making a big or a life-changing decision. Wisdom means that even in our zeal, we need to have knowledge. We need to think through the consequences of our actions. Now, I know as well as you know, sometimes we make decisions in our life and there are unforeseen consequences. You can't do anything about that. But as far as we can, we should think carefully through the decision and its consequences. So move on then to the final point this morning, point three. The sovereign plan of God. This is the most exciting one. Proverbs 16:9. Got four verses for you here. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And a very unusual verse, I love this verse, in Proverbs 16:39, if you think stuff just, you know, there's random stuff in your life, the lot is cast into the lap. We don't do casting of lots, but it's like, you know, the random dice. The lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. Next slide, Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And Proverbs 20:24, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? For me, the sovereignty of God, the sovereign plan of God, is the most comforting and assuring aspect of this whole subject of guidance. To know, to believe, to trust that God is ultimately in control of everything that concerns my life. Friends, if you're a believer, you this morning need to go, big, deep exhale. God is ultimately in control of every aspect of your life. That enables us to trust him, not to live in fear of making the wrong decision, because some people, some Christians, become so paralyzed by fear. Fear of making the wrong decisions that they don't want to make any decisions. But you see, if we follow these steps that have gone before this morning, we can be confident in the decisions we make. I also want this morning to address a situation that some of you will have faced in your life, and I know I have faced. All right, Dave? What about if you've been in a situation where someone else has made a decision about your future that you didn't believe that was right, or indeed it was the best decision, but you had no power to change that? Well, are we simply pawns in the hands of others who don't have our best interests at heart? I mean, can God's plan for my life be scuppered by somebody else's decision about my life that I've got no control over? Or what happens if your circumstances totally change out with your control? Then is God's plan for your life derailed? I truly do not believe, and I don't believe this from the scriptures, Because it's amazing how people's plans for our lives, their decisions over our lives, even the impact our lives in a significant way, God is still working in that. Next slide. Because for the child of God, this is so important, for the child of God, there is an overarching reality of truth. God is ultimately in control of everything that concerns us. We may not be able to do anything about some of the situations that affect us, but, Dave, we always have the choice of how we react to what has happened to us. And the simple fact is this, our attitude often determines the outcome. I want you to think about some of the key characters in the Bible, and you will see how other people made decisions about their lives. They seem to have no control over their own destiny. And yet, in those very circumstances, God was working to achieve his purpose in their lives. Joseph comes immediately to mind. Sold off as a slave by his brothers. Falsely accused. Imprisoned. Forgotten by his friend. But what was his whole perspective at the end of that in Genesis 50:20? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. We think of Daniel and his three friends taken captive out of Israel to a foreign land, a new language, a different religion, a different culture, different customs. It all seemed as if everything was going drastically wrong. They had no control. But God was using the circumstances they faced to do a work in their characters that God may not have been able to achieve any other way. But from day one of their captivity, they began to make choices that reflected the general course of their lives to honour God and obey his word. Going back to point one. After that initial choice, you know the story in Daniel 3, the initial choice to refuse to defile themselves with the food and drink from the king's table. God then put them into further, more difficult situations where they had to make even braver choices to obey and glorify God above all earthly considerations. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as you know, they made the choice not to bow down and worship that huge image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar had set up in Daniel chapter 3. The king was furious and they said, "Oh Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the fiery furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you've set up." They had made their choice. They had set the course of their lives from day one to obey the commands of God. And so when they're faced with this big decision, they were able to make the right choice and God delivered them. Daniel himself, he made the decision to keep bowing down at his open window and praying to God three times a day when the command had been made that no one for 30 days was allowed to pray to any man or any God apart from the king. Now, Daniel could have said, "Well, it's only 30 days. You know, I could pray beside the bed or something. I could pray somewhere privately. I could pray secretly. It's only 30 days. But no. Daniel had long since set the course of his life to live in obedience to the word of God. So when the challenge arose, He was ready to face it. He knew the intent of those who brought the decree to the king. He knew his personal faith and integrity were on the line. But he didn't know that God would close the mouths of the lion. He didn't know that. Because when God's glory is our highest desire and purpose in life, we don't need to concern ourselves with people making the wrong decisions for our lives. Because although we may not be in control, we can choose our response. We can choose our attitude, and we can rest securely in the fact that our lives are securely in the control of our sovereign Father God. Amazing, isn't it? Dave, next slide. But what of those? And at some point in your life, you've already made a wrong decision. A big wrong decision, a choice that clearly was not in line with God's revealed will in his word. I have met so many people in my life in this very position. And there's no getting away from the reality. Oftentimes people do have to live with ongoing difficult consequences as a result of those decisions. But I'm more concerned with Christians who torture themselves wondering, will God ever forgive me for this decision? Or will God ever forgive me? And will this decision be the defining feature of my life? Will this failure be the defining feature of my life? If that's you this morning, I want to remind you once again of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you this morning that the blood of Jesus Christ covers every sin, every wrong choice, every decision, even that has been against the word of God. Yes, you may have to live with the consequences, and it may not be easy, but never underestimate what God can do in your situation. Never underestimate how God can redeem a situation, how God can turn something completely around. And if you've become so downhearted, so discouraged, I encourage you to pray for the turnaround. Pray for the redemption of your situation. Come to God in repentance, in confession of sin. That's the road for us all. Think of King David. King David, the man after God's own heart, who had such a close walk with God, and he made a massively wrong decision. He chose to sleep with another man's wife. He chose to have her husband killed in battle. And he did face some serious and sad consequences of that decision. He was tortured. He talks about his bones being in agony. He talks about the turmoil in his own spirit. And the prophet Nathan confronted him. And he confessed his sin to God. Read it in Psalm 51. And when he confessed his sin to God, what did God say? You just overstepped the mark there and there's no way back. Total failure, right off for your life. No, he confessed his sin and God forgave him the guilt of all his sin. God forgave confession of sin and repentance there are the way forward for all of us in our lives. God doesn't give up on us, even when we make the wrong choices. And finally, and very briefly this morning, I want to speak to those of you who have not yet made the most important decision to commit your life to Jesus Christ. Does the book of Proverbs have anything to say to you? Yes, indeed. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You may think, well, I haven't yet made a choice. But in reality, you have. Because the way that you're walking in right now is your choice. You're choosing to live in that way. And in your view, it may seem pretty harmless. I mean, you're living what you regard as a good life. You're caring for your family. You're working hard. You're living a decent, a moral, upright life as you see it. And all these things are good. But the question, the serious question you need to ask is this. Where's it leading you? Where is your life leading you? We look around and none of us have any difficulty to pick out the very evil people, the bad people, and we identify them as sinners who are on the way to death. The Bible's way of speaking of hell, the judgment of God, separated from God. But if you look around, most people are not living that kind of intensely evil life. Most non-believers I know are what you might call good, upright, moral, but they're on the road that leads to death. Because they're living on the way that seems right to them, to a man, but they have never committed themselves to Jesus Christ. Because we misunderstand the nature of sin. Most people do not live at sin at the nth degree. Most people do not take sin to the fullest course. But yet, the sin that is in all of our lives keeps us separated from God. It keeps us on that way that leads to death. So the key issue isn't how do I view myself or how do my friends and family and colleagues view me? The question is, how does God view me? God views us as sinners in need of a saviour. If we didn't need a saviour, Jesus would never have come. He wouldn't have needed to come. But he came so that we could have eternal life through him. We all need him, a saviour, without exception. So I ask you this morning, consider your life. What road are you on? The broad road, the way that seems right to you, the broad road that leads to destruction, or the narrow road that leads to life. As we're hearing from Proverbs, the way of wisdom is not the way of human understanding. We need to listen to what God says, because he alone is truth. Let's pray. Maybe you are here this morning and you are right in a situation in your personal life right now where you have a big decision to make about something. And you've maybe been struggling to know what is the right thing to do here. Just commit it again to God, even as we're bowed here now in his presence. Maybe think through these steps this morning in your mind. Ask God to confirm his guidance and his direction into your heart. Maybe for some you need to think seriously about point number one. Do you live a thoughtful Christian life? Are you giving serious consideration to how you live day by day? That life of integrity, obedience to the known and revealed will of God through the commands of Scripture. Are you making the right choices day by day? That's the foundation for all other guidance in our lives. Check your motives. Will the decision that you are about to take, will it hinder Or will it enhance your spiritual life? Will it move you forward towards the Lord or backwards away from the Lord? Will it make you more self-centered or make you more God-centered and giving? Good questions to ask. It's not a sign of spiritual weakness to ask for advice and counsel from a trusted spiritual friend. It's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength, and that's in itself is a sign of wisdom to ask for godly counsel. Don't be afraid to ask. Father, I thank you that your word lands right in the middle of our lives. Thank you that you have not left us on our own to make all the decisions in our lives. I thank you that you have given us so much guidance in your word, and thank you for your Holy Spirit who is our counselor and guide. I pray, Lord, for those this morning who are needing guidance, that you will, by your word and your spirit, guide. I pray, Lord, as well, for those who've been struggling with forgiveness, Lord, because of a significant failure to obey. I pray that you would set them free today. Lord, I pray for those who have not yet chosen to trust you and you are calling them. I pray that today, Lord, they would make that decision to follow you. Thank you, you speak to us again and again. Thank you for your grace. Amen. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.